You are listening to the Bugcast, episode 274.
You're listening to a feed of the Association of Music Podcasting at musicpodcasting.org.
We'll be right back.
that was Barry Yoko with Another Girl. People quite liked his name.
Yes, kind of a Beatles
style name, yes.
Styly thing, yes.
Yes, though he didn't sound anything like Yoko Ono. And I would imagine he doesn't look anything like Yoko Ono. Anyway, he's from Osnabrück in Germany.
I'm sure there's an Anglican version of that name somewhere.
Now, I say he, but Barry Yoko was founded by drummer Tobias Prowse, singer and guitarist and bassist Daniel Andre Stuckenberg, Zeigner, in 2007. And since then, the band have played numerous concerts in the vicinity of Osnabrück. And in 2008, Tobias Buscherhoff joined as lead guitarist. They've had two self-produced demo EPs, which were released in August 2010. And this is actually from their 11-song debut album, My Pink Dawn with Marnie. And that's available as a CD and a download. Mm. And you can find out more by checking out barryyoko.com.
Awesome. Good start.
Mm.
Very much approve. So, welcome. This is the Bugcast episode 274. On tonight's show, we have some rather stonking music, an announcement to make on behalf of an artist, and probably some other stuff as well. You know what we do, our usual mix of waffly stuff that has no bearing on anything whatsoever. Because that's what we do. But we are also going to play you some absolutely fantastic music. This is Degrees with Run to the Music. We'll be right back.
evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this, your flight to new music and to chat. Before takeoff, I'd like you to ensure that your tray tables are secured, your seat backs are in the upright position, and all of your hand luggage is in the overhead lockers. The exits don't work, and any feelings of euphoria, elation, and stimulation will pass shortly after the show ends. Captain Dave and First Officer Caroline will update you with our progress throughout the flight between the in-flight entertainments. I'll be passing down the cabin shortly with a selection of crisps, cake and cherryade. Thank you for flying Bookcast Airlines. Please fasten your seatbelts.
That rather nice track was Sleeping Sky with Sail Away from Oberrot in Germany, formed in 1999. It's got Desiree on vocals and guitar, Karina on guitar, and it's basically two acoustic guitars with a piano accompaniment. And the piano accompaniment comes from Karina's brother, Dirk, who actually joined them in 2011, so he kind of came a bit later to the picture. refreshingly melodic. The focus is on the dynamic atmosphere and the honesty of the songs. They released four albums since 2008, all under CC license at Jamendo. And once at The Way, the new album, they made an exception and used Bandcamp for publication. So they've been pretty loyal to Jamendo, but they have tried out Bandcamp as well.
Fair enough.
If you want to find out more, check out sleepingsky.com.
And before that, you heard Run to the Music by Degrees, who are from Tranås in Sweden. In the darkest woods in Sweden, there's a small town named Tranås. And behind all fur coats, gossip girls and dramas stands Degree, a timorous two-man band featuring Michael Jacobson and Richard Falk. For the moment, the story about Degrees is short, but hopefully will grow like everything else important does. This, I heard their track Baby Oh Baby being played on Rat Hole Radio this week past, and I thought, oh, do you know what? I like that. I think we'll play that, only to realise that we already had on episode 264. So I went to look for some more of their stuff and decided to play this one instead. If you want to find out more about Degrees, their website is degreesmusic.tk. Awesome stuff. Right, let's take this opportunity to say hi to the guys that are joining us live in the chat room, particularly as we have somebody in there that I don't think we've had in there before.
Ooh. Mm. We've got Bodie, Chalkahom, Erkan Yilmaz, Expat Paul, Heed, Incius, ISCN TV, Ivano, Jonk Ulp.
John Culp, music professor, hacker, repeat offender of producing Hacker Public Radio. And yeah, I think it's his first time here. So welcome, John.
Waves. John the Nice Guy, K5 Tux, Away from Computer, Lainey, MMNO, Moggers87, Musical, Mordecai, Where's Rigby, Popey, Shy Mega, The Lovebug, Feru, Thistleweb, and Yannick, _.
Do you want to explain the Where's Rigby for those people that don't watch
There's
the
a kids
show.
Program called...
Regular Show.
Regular Show. And the main characters are Mordecai and Rigby.
Mordecai is a woodpecker, an anthropomorphic woodpecker, and Rigby is a... I don't know what he is.
Not a raccoon, is he? Yeah.
It was something. No, it's not a raccoon, but it's something along those lines.
Mm.
But anyway, cool. So yeah, thanks for listening live, guys. It's good to see you here. If you are listening on the podcast and you are thinking, "Oh, what is this live stuff they're talking about?" We broadcast this show live on a Friday night, which we're doing right now, from 9:30 PM UK time. In the Bugcast chat room at thebugcast.org/live. You don't have to come into the chat room if you want to listen live. You don't have to listen live if you want to come to the chat room. You do as much as you want to do. But if you want to carry on listening at your leisure using the podcast, then that is absolutely fine as well.
Yeah.
Right, we're going to move on then with the music. This is, I don't know how to pronounce this. I know Dan had problems with this as well. I'm going to say K-Jam with a track called Dry Your Tears.
Thank you. This is John the Nice Guy, and you're listening to the Bugcast. Sound at last with the master plan. Was looking for you, hoping you'll be mine. The pain in my heart hurt, but now I'm fine. 'Twas a pleasure to meet you. It was rather hard to try to hide my misfit ways. Would you like to try and play my game? Try to hide my misfit ways. By any chance, would you like to play my game?
And that was Christophe Marc with My Misfit Ways from Nantes in France. And I was thinking of Yannick when I chose that as well, because I know he likes French tracks, even though he wasn't singing in French, but he's from France.
Yes.
You can find out more by checking out myspace.com/Christoph Mark. And this is what his bio said about him. I can hear some little pieces of sounds and voices in my head. And if I don't turn them into songs, they stay kind of stuck in my head and make me feel sick.
That's very intriguing and somewhat disturbing at the same time.
But I like that.
Mm.
It's like, I would, as a writer, I have that sort of thing. If I have a character that I'm writing and I have a plot idea, they get in my head and they don't go out until I do it.
It's a compulsion to create, almost.
Yes. So I quite liked that. So I decided that would be what I would read. I wouldn't do any bio research. I'd just read that out.
Fair enough.
It kind of gives you a little...
That's what the website's for.
Yes. And I'm quite glad as well because I almost didn't choose that song. I almost chose a different song, which I didn't quite like, but I liked that one. So there you go.
Hmm. Excellent. And before that, you heard Dry Your Tears by Kajam. And that's it. I'm afraid that's all I can tell you. I did do some searching on Tinterwebs to try and find out more about who or what Kajam is. The reason we played it is because I heard it on Rat Hole Radio. And I like the track, like the banjo from it. So I thought, yeah, let's include that on the show. But sadly, it's one of these unfortunate cases where the artist doesn't want to be found. And the only thing I've got to give you is the Jamendo profile. There's a few tracks on there, so, you know, go and check them out. But I have no web presence, I'm afraid.
I have found something to talk about.
Oh, have you? Is it in the list?
Yes.
Go on. Do that now. I'll go off and make a coffee or something.
Shut up. This time last week, I mentioned on the show that I was excited because during the week there was going to be the UK premiere of Sharknado. Well, I watched it.
And moving on.
It was an it was, as long as it's not a film where you would expect it to do things right, then it's a very good film. As in, don't try and make sense of things and it's fine. There was lots of little plot hole type things, and the ending was so unfeasibly bad that it has to be the highlight of the film, basically. But what I was going to say is that they've green-lighted a sequel. And it's going to be, obviously, the second film. And they set a competition online for fans of the first film to suggest the title of the second film. And they've chosen a winner. Now, I don't know what other suggestions there were, but the winning title for the sequel of Sharknado is Sharknado 2, the second one.
Now, does that mean the second film, or does that mean the second Sharknado?
Well, don't know. We shall find out.
A more important question is, who cares?
Funny enough, it is actually the biggest earner for the Asylum films. That's their best success so far. And it's because it went a bit viral on Twitter and things. People got quite excited about it.
And I wonder whether this shark that was discovered on a New York subway train was in some way a publicity stunt for the film.
Or it was just done by a crazy fan of the film.
Which is also entirely possible.
Because when the film came out on Twitter, there was actually a governor of some backwater town in America who said, this threat could be real, you know, we're going to do contingencies. And it's like, really?
Thistleweb says it needs a reboot with a piranha.
Well, somebody did suggest Piranado. Piranado?
Piran Sharknado.
Ah. I have to say, I subjected Dave to a few minutes of the film because I wanted to show him that the most lol-worthy part of the film, which was basically, imagine you have three tornadoes. The way they're negating these tornadoes is to fly a helicopter next to the tornado and throw a bomb in it, because an explosion in the tornado should equalise the hot and cold pressure and make the tornado stop. This is their science, by the way.
Well, I just switch it off.
Yes, so works on one, works on two. On the third one, the female hero, who's done really well up to that point, goes to put a bomb out, but she gets sucked out of the helicopter and swallowed whole by a shark. So whizzy whiz a bit, and the other hero, the male hero, has managed to drive a car off a cliff, jump out of the last second to go in, get sucked up into the tornado, blow up a bigger bomb that was all homemade, and then cancels the tornado. So despite the fact it takes him several minutes in the film to drive out to this point,
mm-hmm.
it takes him seconds to run back to the rest of the people. Because once the tornado has been cancelled out, you've got hundreds of sharks falling to the ground. And he runs back just in time to see a shark going to eat his daughter, knocks her out of the way, holds up a chainsaw, gets swallowed whole, saws his way out, and of all the hundreds of sharks in that tornado, it was the one that had swallowed the female hero alive, and he dragged her out, and she did the famous line of, I hate sharks, and badoom-tish, there you go, set up the sequel. But you have to laugh, because it was quite funny.
It was awful.
Hey, you're sitting yourself, you only watched a couple of minutes of it.
He just said, helicopters in a tornado, classic. And the first thing that entered my head is if Asylum were commissioned to make the sequel to Snakes on a Plane.
No, excuse me. They already did a mockbuster of Snakes on a Train. Snakes on a Plane. It was called Snakes on a Train.
Yes.
The thing is, though, Asylum films always go for your B-movie style, low-budget films.
But I'm pretty sure they do it intentionally as a Mickey take.
Oh, they do?
They don't intend it to be a serious film at all.
Oh, gosh, no. Definitely not.
Well, nobody could take it seriously.
But I have to say, not one of their films has ever budgeted over $1 million. It's always come under $1 million. And they've always made back their money within the first 3 months and then got pure profit after that.
Mm.
So for their niche market, they're doing exactly what they need. They usually have pop stars and music stars of the past in their films. What was it, Debbie, Harry and Tiffany?
No, Debbie Gibson.
Debbie
and
Gibson
Tiffany,
and Tiffany.
Where they were looking around to see if anybody else was there. And Tiffany uttered the words, I think we're alone now. There doesn't seem to be anyone else around.
Shortly before a giant snake tried to eat her, but didn't.
But I think by that point, I'd already basically drifted off somewhere else.
Because that you was did just laugh such an at that
bit. I laughed in pity. I'm sorry, whatever you do, if you're going to sell yourself out to a budget mock filmmaker,
but
don't sell yourself out to the point where you essentially sell out the entire history of your career by including lyrics from your own songs in the script.
The thing is, though, the reason you watch those films is because the old adage, they're so bad that they're good. And you want to see how... See, if you remember, we watched Titanic 2, where they'd built a new Titanic. And again, it was going to crash. And the brilliant
with
scene...
Dick Van Dyke's nephew, no
Shane
less.
Van Dyke. The ship has sunk quite deep into the ocean.
Can I say this?
Go on. What?
I thought you were going to say that line that...
No, he sunk deep into the ocean,
oh.
Held his breath, was able to swim all the way through the ship, all the many levels, out of the ship, up to the surface, over the space of about 4 or 5 minutes, and survived, despite the fact that, given the depth of the boat, he would have probably had his lungs collapsing on
yes,
him.
Yes, most likely.
But what was the line?
Let's get this cigar smoking.
That's the one.
I mean, for crying out loud. And what's his name was in it as well? Bruce Davison,
yep.
Was in it as well. Now, okay, he's not exactly a hotshot, big A-list Hollywood actor, but he's bigger than Asylum.
But they bigged up that they had a big star for Sharknado, which was Tara Reid. From American, American Pie. She was also in Big Brother. The sum total of her acting in that was about 4 lines, and the rest of it was a look of rabbit in front of the headlights.
Sounds
as though
right.
She was scared all the time. And their son and daughter looked older than they did. But it was fun. I enjoyed every second of it. Better than Sand Sharks that I watched this week, which was rubbish. And better than Blue Demon, which was quite naff as well. But I do like shark, silly shark films. But I'm going to shut up now.
Well, clearly, clearly you like this because you watch them and you feel necessary to share airtime, valuable airtime, on this utter tripe. In other news, I had an email the other day from Bandcamp.
Dun, dun, dun.
I know! From Bandcamp. On behalf of friend of the show, Mark Marshall. Saying that the other New Eye, which was especially the remastered version of his album New Eye, is now available for pre-order. And there's going to be roughly 30 tracks, possibly more on there, of music that he has created over the last six odd years. If you're interested in getting that, if you go over to markmarshall.bandcamp.com and look out for the link for The Other New Eye. It's available for pre-order. It actually comes out on the 25th of August, and it's available for $4.99 minimum. You can pay more if you like. But for those of you, and I think there are still some of you that still listen, who were part of the 444 project that Mark did, I think that must have been about 4 years ago, then this is one of the albums that you will be getting for free because you contributed to the project. So if you want to head over to the Bandcamp site, I'll put a link into the show notes, but there's four tracks on there for you to listen to. And these are remastered versions of some of the tracks that were originally on New Eye. So it's definitely worth having a look at that if you are interested. So, yeah, go over and do that, please, now. Right. Should we have some more music?
Yes. Did it be me again?
No, it's me.
Eh?
It's me. Yes.
Okay. Yes, it is.
Look on the screen. Yes. Ow.
Oh, sorry.
This is Closey and Colossal.
Seekum.
Tadamagush.
Shuben Akadi.
Quispansis.
Pokemush.
Skookamachuk.
Waikagama.
Tabansitak.
Homalko.
Wasetna.
Maramashi.
Mamali and Kuala. Kwikwasutunak.
And these are all clearly places that us Canadians have not stolen.
And that Carolyn likely couldn't pronounce.
And I'm Chris.
This is John.
And you're listening to the Budcast.
would it give me a reason to go straight to hell? There are some that would hold me for treason. They probably know me pretty well. If you could come along, if you could come along, I'd fly away. Would it give me a reason to rise above the strife? There are some that would hold me for treason, but it's really not their life. If you could come along, if you could come along,
that was the agreeable
extra choral piece there.
I'd Fly Away from Santa Barbara in California.
Sorry, I did that bit.
Sorry, that was from their debut EP. The debut EP by the indie rock superhero duo, The Agreeables. They also do funny animations. Find that on their YouTube page or on their official site, which is theagreeables.com.
Oh, that was it.
Yeah.
And before that, you heard Colossal by Closey. Now, Closey, who is from Toulouse in France, is Chloe Herry, a 20-year-old sound engineering student who combines technical precision with a very wild imagination. An accomplished instrumentalist, don't drink beer on this show. She began her music career aged 11 playing classical guitar, but at the age of 16 she was producing electronic music influenced by the likes of Bonobo and Timbaland. Now, if you try and genre bucket her work, it's kind of somewhere between, well, it says here, glitch step, glitch hop, hip hop, dubstep, orchestral and acoustic. Well, I don't know what the glitch ones are, to be honest with you. But she released her first EP called Dubious in 2012. And she's also a beat maker for Ock Films or Ocky Films. And this track that you just heard was taken from the Ocky Films soundtrack album, which is basically a compilation of all the tracks that she has ever produced for Ocky Films. I thought it was good. If you want to find out more about her, she's got a Bandcamp page, Closey, that's Clozee .bandcamp.com.
Cool. Two little newsy items.
Two? You never said two?
Two, yeah. First one. This is one of these things that really aggravates me, because not only is this person's actions affected somebody, it affects people who have genuinely gone through something, who worry about telling the truth because people like this take the mick out of the system. Basically, a 20-year-old woman has been jailed for 18 months after wrongly accusing an innocent man of kidnapping her, tying her naked to a lamppost and raping her in a three-hour ordeal.
Hmm.
She completely fabricated it, all because the person that she made the false claims against had a spat with her boyfriend. And she was caught out because none of the facts stood up, and basically the place that she said it had happened was well lit, populated with workmen, where it would have been impossible for something like this to have happened without people seeing it. And it was when she was asked some detail, she buckled down and said, "I made it all up, blah, 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 blah." But that bloke who had done nothing wrong was held in custody for 9 hours, had intense investigations against him, and not being funny, in an age like this where word spreads very quickly, despite the fact that she's been caught out in a lie, mud sticks, there'll have been at least a time period where people would have believed that he was genuinely capable of that.
Yeah.
And that's really quite scary, that people wouldn't have problems lying like that. So yeah, that was quite a sad one.
It's very annoying, but not annoying. It's anger-inducing because, yeah, they're playing with other people's lives, but playing on
a very emotive subject.
Yeah, precisely.
But not only that, not only did she attack him directly by making these false accusations, she slapped the face of many victims who've been through very similar ordeals by making a mockery of what they've gone through.
Yeah.
And I find that most distasteful. So, yeah, that was that one. And the other one is, I don't know if people in all countries have heard this, but there's a website called ask.fm, and a young girl called Hannah Smith, I think she was 14 or 15.
14 years old.
Yeah.
No, she was 14, sorry.
She was on the site, and cyberbullies and trolls had apparently been making lots of comments against her, and she ended up committing suicide. The same trolls have actually attacked her parents and things like that. Ask.fm's founders were asked to cooperate with police, but they said they have done. But now, not only are news sites saying about how bad the site is, advertisers are pulling out, people are circulating petitions to get it closed down and things like that. But the thing is, if you take that site away, there'll be another site comes along with a different name that does the same thing. Mm. Ask.fm replaced Formspring. Also, the whole point of the site is for people to ask questions, for people to answer either as users or anonymously. And I am not in any way, shape or form trying to take away what that girl's gone through. But if you go on a website where you're asking people questions, you have to expect answers that you wouldn't agree with. I'm not saying that these anonymous people were right in what they've done, but she's also put herself out there.
It's difficult because the website in itself is trying to cater for a particular market, and the ability to ask questions in an anonymous fashion.
But they don't ask questions in an anonymous fashion. She, as a user, will have a profile of which she asks questions.
No,
people who answer it can answer it as a user or anonymously.
So you can't anonymously ask a question?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah, that's a bit stupid.
It's like, it's almost like if you think of those hot or not sites, you put your picture out there, am I hot or not? You're expecting an answer, but the chances are you might have 10,000 people giving the answer they expect, and you might have 11,000 giving you the answer you didn't expect. That could affect your self.
Yeah.
Self-worth, because everyone would have thought the same thing. So if you put yourself out there on these sites and you ask questions, then the chances are, and like FistWeb, is there a whole social pressure to be on those sites? Because I've noticed, I try not to have young people on my friends list on Facebook and things like that, but we have a few teenagers because it was family friends that they'd asked us to add, and I don't mind doing that as such, but I've noticed the link between those. They all do things, like they'll do a status saying, like for you're the one. So people will like it and they'll say, oh, so-and-so, you're the one that makes me smile. You're the one that makes people laugh, sort of thing.
Mm.
Or they'll do, give me a number and I'll do a random thing. So they're constantly making statuses, asking for people for input or people to get input back. So I think in that age group, that is kind of their... It's their equivalent of hot and nots and all that kind of thing. It's their...
Yeah.
It's how they do it.
That's exactly what it is.
But if you engage in that activity, you've got to accept that you're not always going to get the answers that you want. And there's always going to be people out there that will hide behind anonymity and say things that they would never say to somebody's face.
Somebody has just popped into my head. Somebody who believes that social networking is a popularity contest. And this person will ask will make a statement about something that's happened in their life.
Because they want the awe brigade.
Yeah, they want the hugs brigade to come along and say, oh, honey, this is so bad, blah, 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 blah. But the moment someone non-conforms, for which I have been guilty specifically with this person, you get excommunicated and ostracized immediately.
Yeah.
Because all they want around them are the people who are yes people.
Yes. The yes brigade. The yes.
Yes.
The yes crowd.
Yes.
But I think back to live journal days. Had a live journal for many years. Still got it, but I don't tend to post to it. And at one point, I had anonymous comments activated. And we had a spate for a couple of months of an anonymous commenter who would say stupid things like, hope you get cat's AIDS and die and all that kind of thing.
God, I'd forgotten about that.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And it was daft things like, oh, you've got the hairstyle of a 40-year-old
Wow, I'd had completely forgotten about that until you just mentioned it.
And that person at one point upset me until I realised I could turn off anonymous comments and never came across them again. The chances are that was probably someone I know, that we know, who was on a power trip. But the moment I took that power away from them, and not only that, before I took the power away from them, I just didn't respond to it.
Mm.
It dried up.
Yeah.
And it's a mental thing for you not to take it seriously, not to take it personally, because at the end of the day, it's a person or persons behind a computer screen saying stuff that was complete nonsense.
But that's where their power's from.
But I'm thinking back now, I was what, 18, 19 at that time? This is a 13, 14-year-old. So their ability to block things out and to step back from it is completely diminished.
Mm.
Everything means the whole world to them at that point, at that age. And I think it's quite dangerous, these sites, for such young children, because they are children. But yeah, it's quite sad.
Yeah, very.
But I don't think banning the site or closing the site is the right answer, because you'll just have another site that does the same thing under a different name. And teenagers will always be looking for that sort of interaction with people.
You can't blame the site, though. Not really. Because the site is just a vehicle for communication. If it wasn't ask.fm, it would have been Facebook or Twitter or BlackBerry Messenger. So I don't think the fault there is with the social network. No.
Lainey said, why was she using the site about parental supervision? Under 16 should have parental supervision when online. But like I say, a lot of parents in this day and age think under 16s, stick them on the computer, it's like a babysitter.
Yeah. Also, the COPPA requirements for social networking, certainly in the US, is 13 years old.
Yeah.
So sites that are based in the US, like Facebook, won't let you sign up unless you're 13. Sorry, won't let you sign up unless you state you're 13.
Yes.
So a lot of people will bypass that. But what can Facebook do about that?
I know. But how many people on Facebook that we know have as friends have opened up Facebook accounts for their children of like
and their dogs.
5, 6, 7 years old.
I know.
Now, Amy and Cara love, they know about Facebook because we have Facebook. They're nosy about it. They keep asking for a Facebook, but they've been told not until they're older.
Hmm.
And we won't be the kind of parents that let them go online, shut themselves in a room and do whatever they want.
But at the same time, we're not going to sit over their shoulders while they're doing things.
No, but we'll make sure they understand the dangers of that. And what we said is that when they're first on the internet, they'll be in the same room as us.
Yes.
So that we can keep an eye from afar. As they grow older and more mature on the line and know more about the ins and outs of it, yes, we could start trusting them. Because like we said to them, it's not the trusting of them, it's trusting other people.
Yeah.
But the other side about this is when they said under 16 should have parental supervision, a lot of the generation before ours that weren't as technical, most of them haven't got the technical know-how that their children have. So their children can just completely confound them with technology.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to answer that or combat that. But yeah, it's just such a sad thing, and I don't think it's going to be one interesting one to watch to see how it develops. Because I don't think stopping the site is going to be the right answer, but I do think some sort of more awareness of what teenagers get up to online and the dangers that face them for parents, especially parents that aren't technically minded, there needs to be a lot more of a push for that.
Mm.
But yeah, there you go. A bit of a serious note to semi-end on.
Yeah. Interested to see what you guys, the listeners, think about this particular subject. Drop us an email, let us know. Next week, the Bugcast episode 275 will be broadcast live in the Bugcast chat room at thebugcast.org/live. Do you realise this is your 200th show?
Ooh!
201st show.
Ooh!
74 was your first show, and this is 274.
Wow.
There you go. Yes, live show, thebugcast.org/live, next Friday, which is the 16th of August at 9:30 p.m. UK time. If you do want to get in touch with us and let us know your feelings on anything we've spoken about or any of the music that we've played, please drop us an email, feedback@thebugcast.org. Don't forget, we also have a rather spiffing website at thebugcast.org where you can find out more information about how you can get in contact with us over social networking, amongst many other things. Go and have a look around. Right, last track time. You remember last week we played a track called Cracked Open by Arthur Lee Land, and I did mention that we were going to be closing out this show with another track by the same artist. Now, this is Arthur's autobiographical song. It's called Good Enough, and it's a key part of an internet-based charity that's raising money for Able Child, Parents for Label and Drug-Free Education, which is a nationally recognised in the US non-profit organisation dedicated to parents, caregivers and ADD-ADHD children's rights. Able Child co-founder Sheila Matthews says, "Able Child is thrilled to see such a talented musician recognise that children possess an innate creative spirit that needs to be nurtured and channeled rather than subdued by psychiatric labels and drugs. Arthur should be viewed as a role model for all our children so that they know that they can be themselves, learn and succeed." All the proceeds of the sales of this song will go directly to raise money for this charity. So if you know anybody who has children that are labelled as ADD or ADHD, head along to the website at ablechild.org, and please, if you feel you are able, try and support the cause. If you want to find out more about Arthur Lee Land, website is arthurleeland.com. This track is called Good Enough, and we will catch you. Oh, before I go, almost forgot to mention this. On Monday, episode 400 of Amped New Music Weekly will be released. We will be featuring 11 tracks from 10 members of the Association of Music Podcasting. It's a landmark episode. We are putting it together. We're going to be hosting it. So please do head along to amped.musicpodcasting.org from Monday the 12th of August and download that show. So anyway, yes, this is Arthur Lee Land and Good Enough, and we'll catch you next week.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Yesterday I watched the videos from when I was a boy. I have to say, well, it took me by surprise. I heard that little boy say, I don't want people to see how stupid I am. It made me wonder who told him all those lies. I carry this with me every day, and I wanna let it go. Cause I know that I'm good enough. Wish that you can understand the price that I have paid to be a man. It could have been my big brother, I was just a pain in his ass. Or maybe my mom, cause to her I could never do things right. My cheating dad went along with it to keep the peace in the house. Now I'm left with this burden and stage fright. I was a champion of nothing during my school career. Hyperactive, I was a guinea pig for the little white pills. Super bright, but it doesn't apply himself, is what my teacher said. They wrote me off, another kid lost to the social ills. Well, I've carried this with me long enough. It's time to let it go. Cause I know that I'm good enough. Wish that you could understand the price that I have paid to be a man. I don't have to prove myself or justify my worth. What I am is only who I am. It's who I am. Only who I am. A part of me was stolen by my cousins when I was only 10. Threw me face down on the bed, I didn't know what was happening. These scars are like a magnet, they attract more and more shame. But I ain't gonna play the victim, I got no one to blame, no. These voices inside my head, well, they almost took me down. But I found the sound of silence, it led me to forgiveness. I know that I'm good enough. Wish that you could understand the price that I have paid to be a man. I don't have to prove myself or justify my worth. What I am is only who I am. It's who I am.
Podcast submits its Creative Commons tracks to cchits.net, the site where you make the charts. If you have enjoyed these tracks, please vote for them using the links in the show notes. Or if you want to get even more involved, visit cchits.net.